from 11 to 2, it's the thing to do. You're listening to Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
A few weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. on vacation with my wife and my daughter, and went to do a lot of the regular touristy things on the mall there. And one of the things that I always do when I'm anywhere close to it is go to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, also known as The Wall. And I've been there many, many times since it was first opened up in 1982. And every time I'm there, as I walk down the ramp next to those granite slabs with the names of the more than 54,000 Americans who died in that war on them, and I see the other people who are there looking for their fallen comrades in some cases, family members in other cases, friends, etc., I can't help but get emotional. I call it the pit of emotion, because the more you walk down that ramp and then back up the other side, the more, well, at least it affects me. There is a national touring version of the wall that is here in St. Louis. It got here yesterday, and it'll be on display at the James J. Egan Civic Center in Florissant through next Tuesday. It coincides with the Vietnam Veterans of America having their annual convention here in St. Louis. About 600 delegates from all over the country are here, and I welcome them to town. Just as in 1987, I helped HBO put together a welcome back concert to welcome Vietnam veterans back in a way that they really hadn't been welcomed back before. And on the phone with me now is a guy who may be one of the most famous Vietnam veterans. His name is Adrian Cronauer. He was made famous because Robin Williams played him in the movie Good Morning Vietnam as the wacky military disc jockey.
That's why I know that name.
That's why you know it. And here he is now from somewhere deep inside the Pentagon at your office, right, Adrian?
I am indeed, yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on here today.
Well, my pleasure, Paul. Actually, there are more than one of the moving walls. What happened was, shortly after they built the original full-size mall here in Washington, somebody realized maybe, 3-4% of Americans would ever get to Washington to see it, so they said, let's take the wall to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they built this model, scale model, about half size, that was made out of panels that could be loaded onto a flatbed truck and moved around. And the idea is they take it into a community, set it up in a churchyard or a school or on the city lawn or whatever, and they're there for several days, and people come. And the emotional impact is so strong, it is almost the same as being at the real wall because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows somebody, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a cousin, a brother, a neighbor, a classmate. You know somebody whose name is on that wall, so it's personal. And when they built the first moving wall, the demand got so much that they were booked up for literally years in advance. They built this. They put together a second one, one to tour west of the Mississippi, one to tour east of it. They both got so booked up, they built a third one that just toured up and down the West Coast.
Mm.
And then a fourth one just in California. There's a chain of funeral homes that has one that they have financed and built to go to the various chain members around the country. And Jan Scruggs, who built the original wall, just recently decided he wanted to get in on it, too. So he has one that's touring the country now, too.
Yeah,
I've been to dozens of them, and wherever you are, it's that same strong emotional charge.
And that's good. And I recommend that people go see this and experience that emotional charge, even if you don't know somebody in your own immediate family or your friends or whoever or their parents who served in Vietnam and died there or whatever it was. I think it's good for people to go there and remember what war is about. To me, that's one of the messages of the wall.
Oh, absolutely. And also, to see the reaction of the veterans who
yep.
were there.
Do they still, I don't know if they do this with the moving wall, but I know when we were there in Washington, people still leave all sorts of things there.
There's, artifacts, yeah.
There is always a group of Vietnam veterans who are leaving a bottle of Jack Daniels for one of their fallen comrades. And there are flowers and people doing...
And dog tags and articles of clothing and on and on. And I understand that they are in the process of either planning or even may have started to build a museum where... at the original wall, where you can see this collection of artifacts.
That's good. Now, with all that said, I've talked to a lot of Vietnam veterans through the years and been involved in a lot of events. When the wall in Washington got scratched, I did a fundraiser with Jan Scruggs to help fix some of those granite panels. So I've talked to a lot of guys who served over there, And 90% of them are reticent to talk about what it was like to be there. Why is that?
I think some of it is that the reaction a lot of us got when we came back turned us into what is sometimes called a closet veteran. You didn't deny having served in Nam, but you certainly didn't want to bring the subject up for fear of a hostile reaction. There's also a bit of the attitude of, well, if you weren't there, there's no way you're ever going to be able to be made to understand, so there's no sense even talking with you.
You work in the Pentagon Office of POWs and MIAs. How many people do we think are still missing in action from the Vietnam War?
From the Vietnam War, just a little under 2,000. But totally, we have 88,000 people still missing. 78,000 are from World War II, about 8,100 from Korea, one from Desert Storm, and about 130 from the Cold War.
Well, if we have people still listed as MIA from World War II, it answers the question I was going to ask next, which is, do you ever downgrade somebody from MIA to gone?
Yes. People can be downgraded, or I wouldn't say downgraded.
Well, you know what I mean.
Their status is changed.
Right.
To missing, presumed dead.
Mm-hmm.
And more dead body not recovered.
Right. Are veterans being treated better now than they were when you guys came back?
Oh, absolutely, Paul. Absolutely. And I think there were a couple of significant events. One was just about the time that the wall was built, we started to see a change in attitude begin. And it culminated at the end of the Desert Storm conflict when our troops came home. And it was very emotional for the Vietnam vets because they had at least tacitly sworn to themselves that they would never let another American fighting man be treated as shabbily as we were. And so the Vietnam vets were the ones that were out there leading the Welcome Home parade.
Mm-hmm.
And, the vets these days are being treated much better.
I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad we also went through the whole support our troops thing earlier this year with the war. Whatever people may have thought about the war, the message was, of course, support the troops. What I find ironic is that some of these politicians of every stripe who are saying that are also the ones who have since cut benefits to the VA and others who are still active in the military.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle something like that when you're an activist working inside the building where a lot of that decision-making gets done?
Well, I'm not making those kind of decisions.
I know you're not.
Are made over at the VA,
right?
Times, or are more accurately, they're being made by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to talk to Congress about it.
Yeah.
And you can go back through any war you want, all the way to the Civil War, the American Revolution, all the way back to the Roman armies. And history proves time and again, when the country is in danger, hey, you're our boy. Yeah, you're a hero. We're 100% behind you. Once the danger is over, who are you?
Yep.
We don't know you.
Yep.
And veterans have never gotten anything that they haven't stood up on their own two back feet and demanded.
And they deserve more, and it's shameful that the politicians will talk out of both sides of their mouth on that issue and treat veterans that way in this country. It's not only veterans, but people who are still active in the service. Anyway, Bob Hope died a few days ago. Did you ever get to see him on his Vietnam tours?
No. I saw him when I was in Greece.
Oh, yeah?
On the island of Crete.
What was that like?
Well, to tell you the truth, though, it was a European tour, and we were the last stop. And by the time they got to us, they were pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed some protection for a couple of numbers that they did. And they needed some shots of the guys singing. But beyond that, the show was not as lively as we had expected, and there wasn't the chance to get together with Bob and the other entertainers much. And so it was a little, I hate to say it, but it was a little disappointing.
I'm sorry to hear that. Who were the other entertainers, do you remember? Did you get Ann Margaret or Joey Heatherden or any of those kind of people?
To be honest with you, I can't remember.
Yeah. Did you ever get any acts like that coming through Vietnam at all? I mean, you didn't get to see Hope, but were there other USO tours that came anywhere?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Brothers Four and Vicky Carr and Danny Kaye and Robert Mitchum and on and on. And one of the best, in my estimation, was Wayne Newton. And I interviewed him. I took my little portable tape recorder and went down to the USO in Saigon. And while I was still sitting up, he asked where I was from, and I told him Pittsburgh, and he asked if my parents were still there, and I said yes. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, my mother is sitting at home, and the phone rings. And a voice says, "Mrs. Cronauer, my name is Wayne Newton. I'm a singer. I just got back from Vietnam. I met your son Adrian there, and he's looking well. He's healthy. He sends you his love."
Wow.
To her dying day, she thought that man walked on water.
I bet. And you know what? What a great thing to do for a soldier and his mom.
I met Wayne Newton later, many, many years later, and I found out that every conflict he's been at least once to entertain the troops, and every time he does the same thing. He takes millions and hometowns, and he comes back. He'll hire temps for a couple of days to help him place the calls, and he calls parents.
That's great. Let me get the plug in for your appearance. Saturday night, you'll be at the James J. Egan Civic Center with the Vietnam Moving Memorial, The Wall. Adrian Cronauer, best known for Good Morning Vietnam. I didn't want to have to ask you the same questions you've had 1,000 times about that.
That's great.
And I'm glad we got to talk about some other things. Thanks for your time today.
All of the questions that you would have normally asked, I'll be answering in my speech anyhow.
Okay, good. Fine. Thanks, Adrian. I appreciate your time. Adrian Cronauer here on The Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS.